And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Three receivers in. Williams. Crossing through the hands. And a big hit on Romo Dunze at the goal line. Incomplete. Cameron Kitchens may have prevented the touchdown.
That looked like a touchdown to me as it was coming out of Caleb Williams' hands. Dunze is going to make the cut just right through his arms. And so many times, Mike, when you get in these cold weather games, you want to catch it against your body, and it's out of character for these guys. They should just go ahead and extend the hands with those gloves.
That was the pass to Romo Dunze on 2nd and 4, first drive of the game. Then on 3rd down, DeAndre Swift would roll to the right for 2 yards. And then on 4th down from the 21-yard line, Caleb Williams would throw the interception that was intended for Colston Loveland. And as a result, the Rams would drive 14 plays, 85 yards, taking 6 minutes, 33 seconds off the clock to score a touchdown in the first quarter to take the lead 7-0. And from there, the tide did turn for the Chicago Bears. Fortunately enough, they were able to bounce back on their own 12-play, 80-yard drive, taking 6 minutes to tie the game up at 7. Then in the next 4 drives, the Rams will punt, the Bears will punt, the Rams will punt, the Bears have a turnover on downs. That one was another tough one. Bears find themselves again in the gold zone, the 32-yard line. Went for it on 4th down. Had on 2nd and 10, DeAndre Swift runs up the middle. There were so many 2nd down runs that went for 8 or 9 yards where the Bears found themselves short. And on this possession in particular, the same thing happened. It was 2nd and 10. DeAndre Swift up the middle for 9 yards. You're thinking, all right, the Bears are just going to continue chugging along. 3rd and 1, DeAndre Swift gets stuffed. Then 4th and 1, Kyle Manungai gets stuffed. And again, it's like those were the moments that kept happening where you feel like the Bears just couldn't capitalize and put points on the board. But then the defense would come through because right after that, it was a 3 and out. The Bears got the ball back and kicked the field goal. So like they were still able to capitalize in the first half, again, imposing their will where I felt like they were the better team. And that's why what we're feeling right now is a mix of feelings, and you know what we've gotten is mad and hopeful and sad and hopeful. Hopeful nonetheless. Obviously, this is a turnaround season for the Bears, and the assumption is that they'll only continue to play better in seasons to come. But mad, either mad because you feel like the Bears should have won, or sad because of how the whole thing played out. Well, let's take your phone calls. Therapist Gabe in the building. I don't know if this is necessarily a therapy session, though, right? Because this is like... this feels more like the end of the, like, you know, we had 6 weeks and this is the last session where we're all just like hugging each other and saying, you know, good job. Yeah, I'm going to miss you, man. All right, Jeff in Willowbrook, want to take your call, man. Talk to me a little bit about Caleb Williams, your thoughts about him on this one.
No, you pretty much covered everything. It's been, I'm a frustrated fan, but it's a great season, and just how they lost was, just could have won.
All right, Jeff. Well, Caleb Williams, you know, 23 for 42, 257 at 2 touchdowns, but he had them 3 interceptions. What did you feel like, you know, overall, did you feel like he was the reason why the Bears lost this game? All right, Jeff, I'm out on you, brother. My bad. Yeah, I tried, you know, I'm a nice guy when it comes to the phones. Whenever I'm on with like Crody or, you know, anybody for that matter, they all make fun of me because I do take phone calls. Maybe it's from the FM side of me, you know, that I'm used to, I like taking calls. And I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, sometimes you got to be prepped. You got to be ready to roll if you want to get on the line. So I'll just go to Mike out in Northwest Indiana. Mike, when you're looking at this one, obviously a lot of people talking about the choices Ben Johnson made in certain situations. What were your thoughts about some of those questionable calls?
You know what, they were playing the Rams, and you know, I was a Detroit fan for years, and I went through misery just like Chicago did. And they brought Campbell over there, and you know, he's following Campbell's philosophy this year a little bit too early. You know, Campbell always went for it on 4th and 1 and cost some points. I wish they would have kicked the field goals, knowing how tough the Rams are. But they played a fantastic game, and I'm really happy for the coach. And, I, you know, to a certain point, I agree with his decisions, but then I look back and say, you know, it could have possibly costed him the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that when you're talking about fourth down philosophies, and obviously we all know Dan Campbell goes for it on fourth down, I think with Ben Johnson, the part that, and even during the season, Mike, there was moments where I questioned him going for it on fourth down. I think it was even the first, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, first game of the season, first drive of the season, Ben Johnson was tasked with the question of whether or not he'd go for it on fourth down, and he did. And I remember thinking, I didn't like the call, but I loved his decisiveness. I loved the fact that he went for it and was like, nah, this is what we're going to do. And I think that here's my issue, though. Here's what I felt at the beginning of the season, and here's maybe we can get on the same page, Mike, is that I don't know if the Bears at that time or in general are good enough to be doing that as often, right? I understand the Lions were an offensive juggernaut. That makes sense to me why you would go for it, because you're one of the best offensive teams in the league. Bears not necessarily there yet. So I think where you were going for it at the same rate that the Lions were, your offense wasn't as potent. So I think you needed to make some sort of adjustment on those fourth down calls.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, unfortunately, it probably cost them the game. But I'm not going to sit here and blame it on him. The guy brought a wonderful season. Everybody should be happy. And I'm not going to blame Caleb. I'm not going to blame anybody. Let's just be happy that they made it this far. And let's look forward to next year. And maybe, you know, he'll think about the fourth downs next year in a more important game.
I think, Mike, you're sounding like you're more of the sad and hopeful. You know, some people were mad and hopeful. You definitely are hopeful because you're like, let's look for next year. But you sound a little sad. Maybe that's because you're an actual Lions fan and deep down in your heart. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez. Hanging out with you guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Gabe Ramirez. That way you can tweet at me. I can answer any calls you like. You can also text in. Obviously, our text lines are there. Make sure you guys go ahead and hit us up there as well. All right, let's go to Jerry out in Champaign. Jerry, talk to me about this one. People are either sad and hopeful or mad and hopeful. Where are you at with this one?
Me, partner, I'm just an NFL fan, so it was a great game. But, of course, being from Champaign, Illinois, you know, and I just realized, are Bears fans really happy with Caleb?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I mean, how many more comeback wins do they really want? I mean, me, preferably, if I had a certain team, I want that quarterback to play good the whole game, not just last 3 minutes.
Wait a second. Are you complaining about Caleb Williams saying he's not good enough?
100%.
Okay, tell me more, because I want to hear what your complaints are about him.
He doesn't play full four quarters, ever.
Now,
when you say he doesn't
play the four quarters, do you mean like you want him to be playing excellent all four quarters? That's what you're saying?
No, I want him to play like a QB1 shoot all four quarters. Consistent, good football. Not just give me good 2 minutes out of the game. 60-minute game, it should be played good for 60 minutes, not just for two. I think you can agree with me on that one, buddy.
No, buddy, I can't agree with you on that one at all. I think you're talking about a young quarterback that's in a brand new system that, you know, a game is 60 minutes. A game is four quarters. And throughout the course of a game, sometimes you have quarters that are less efficient than others. And I think that Caleb Williams, again, as a second year quarterback in the league, I mean, you're talking about he went up against Matthew Stafford. This guy won a Super Bowl. This guy was number one pick in the draft, been around two different teams, played, you know, obviously with great head coaches. Sam Darnold's the other one, another first number one pick that's played with multiple teams, or third pick, excuse me, played with multiple teams, and, you know, obviously has a lot of experience under his belt. I think it's okay to say, and I want to be able to agree with you, Jerry, in the sense that we can critique the fact that Caleb Williams, you know, hasn't, in your mind, put it together for four quarters consistently every single game. We can do that, but you'd have to say it with with knowing that there's room to grow, he hasn't reached his ceiling yet, right? So when you say you want a quarterback that can do it for four quarters, I think, Jerry, you're just saying you want Caleb to evolve into that quarterback. Because to judge him as a complete player in the present will be unfair, because you didn't do that same thing to Matthew Stafford. You know, so it's like you got to get there. And I think Caleb will get there. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. Bears lose to the Los Angeles Rams 20-17 in a heartbreaker. Could have found themselves playing in Seattle next week. It's going to feel weird, guys. Last week was like the happiest week in Chicago history over the last 5 or 6 years. Everybody was feeling good. Now there's going to be this lull. There's going to be no football that's centered around Chicago. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's already hit me, but it's going to hit you next week, Saturday, when the Rams are playing the Seahawks and you're watching bad football. Inevitably, there will be some moments of bad football. And you're going to be like, damn, the Bears should have been in this predicament and the Bears could have won this game. And I know it's going to happen because I'm going to be watching it too. And then 1 week after that is the Super Bowl. Oh, my God, I can't believe that. It sucks so much. Ugh. And I know you guys, for those of you that don't know me personally, I'm Puerto Rican. And I just got back from Santa Clara. I went to go watch Bears Niners. My family and I, we go on a trip every year. There's about 12 of us. Cousins, friends, my dad, my brother, etc. And I sold my dad on buying us tickets to the Super Bowl if the Bears made it there, because Bad Bunny's performing. And he was in. My dad was with it. He's like, I swear to God, I'll buy those tickets for you boys. It was for me and my brother. So that's another reason why this one stings. I'm going to take more phone calls, obviously. You guys are lined up. But I just want to, you know, I'm thinking about where my heartache comes from. You know, the Bears were up. The Bears, up 10-7 in this one. Even going into the half, I was like, don't let them score. A minute and 10 left. Don't let them score. They get the ball back in the second half. And you're like, ugh. That one hurt. The Bears had so many opportunities to start the second half, though. So many opportunities to put points on the board in the second half before the Rams took the lead 17-10. So many opportunities. And I feel like that's where it cost them. They couldn't get the momentum shifted on their side. 312-644-6767 is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank here on 670 The Score. But let's go back out to the phones. I see you guys there ready to chat. Let's go to Joey, one of my favorites out in Lincolnwood. Joey, good to talk to you again, man. Unfortunately, I'm so sad that this is going to be the last weekend we get to do it.
I know, bro. How you doing, Gabe?
Chilling, man. What'd you think about it? Are you mad and hopeful or sad and hopeful?
So I'm more sad than hopeful. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
I want you to erase the season from your memory. Just pretend like it never happened, right?
I'm not there yet, Joey.
I know, but hear me out. We go back to September 8th at 6:45. Bears are getting ready to kick off against the Vikings.
Okay.
If I told you that day, Bears go 11-6, win the division, what are you going to tell me?
I might cry, okay. Joey.
So let me tell you. So this is why I'm sad, because, you know, I hate playing the what-ifs game.
Yeah.
I hate doing that in sports, right? You know, the way I see it is this. I'm looking at the stat sheet today. And I watched the game, obviously.
Of course.
I think the Bears dominated that game 99.9%
Dominated.
Of the time.
Dominated.
Okay. And if you look at Matthew Stafford's stat line here, you know, he threw for 250, no touchdowns. I tell you, the Bears win this game 9 out of 10 times.
Yep.
But then you go look at Caleb's stat line, 3 interceptions.
Tough.
Okay. And then I look at the remaining teams left in this playoffs, right? You know, you go to the AFC side. Okay, you have a Broncos without Bo Nix now. Drake May hasn't looked the greatest this postseason. He's turning the ball over left to right. If the Bears win this game and we somehow find a way, you know, to beat Seattle in Seattle next week, that's where I sort of what if,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that one hurts.
So I am hopeful, but like Ben Johnson said in the post game, it's the NFL. Ain't nothing guaranteed. You know?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, I mean, that's what makes this one in a couple weeks, and I just mentioned it, right? That's what's going to make this one sting a bit more because it's not a top-heavy the teams that are left in the playoffs it's not top heavy. There's not a dominant team, so you feel mm-hmm. like you're in the mix, and especially after a loss like that, you know, you had the ball in overtime with an opportunity to put up a field goal to get the win, and you fall short of that opportunity to at least put your name in the hat, you know, to go up and go ahead and win the Super Bowl, which would have been, oh my God, Virginia McCaskey passes away. The Bears go on this incredible run.
The story was there, right?
The story was there. You know, Caleb Williams, 7 comeback victories. Like, it was there for the taking. It's just, I don't think the moment got too big for Caleb. And I will say that. And let me ask you that. You know, because that's what this, first of all, that's what these phone calls are here for, so we can talk to each other about this damn game.
Absolutely.
But it's like, no one wants to say that. Like, no call has come in and said, hey, was the moment too big for Caleb Williams? Was the moment too big for Caleb Williams? I mean, we're talking about 3 interceptions for a guy that threw 7 all season long.
Sure. You know what? And that first interception of the game on that first drive, I sucked. You know, it should have never gotten to that point. Roma Dunze should have caught that ball in the end zone,
yes.
Point blank, period. You know, but like I said, what if? I hate playing that game. But do I think the moment got too big for Caleb? No. I do think he tried to do too much at times.
That's what I'm talking about.
And, you know,
no, 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 wait, Joey, because that's what I'm talking about. There were moments in the beginning of this season where we were watching Caleb play, and we're like, what were we saying? Take what's in front of you.
Exactly.
What did Ben Johnson say in the beginning of the season? I need you to be more of a point guard, less of a shooting guard. And I think that in this moment, in this game, Caleb's like, I can see my story arc happening in front of me. I am the man. And I think that, like, you know, sometimes in situations you revert back to what you're most comfortable doing. And I think that's where Caleb kind of fell into a rut, because maybe he wanted to be the man so much that it led to three interceptions.
Oh. Yep, and I could tell you a couple of those interceptions, especially that last one in overtime to DJ Moore.
Oh my God!
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Caleb last year, where he was just forcing stuff that might have not been there. And you know, I can't remember exactly what quarter it was or what play it was, but there was an incomplete pass. I think it was on second. It was like 2nd and 8 or something like that. And you know, he had DeAndre Swift wide open in the flat, and he missed him. And DeAndre Swift had room to run, and he just missed him. He didn't see it, and he ended up throwing an incomplete pass, which I think the Bears ended up going 3 and out that drive. But, you know, it's stuff like that where it's like you're hopeful, because you see the progression in Caleb Williams, right? You see the progression in this Bears team. And I am excited for next year, because, you know, I think we're going to improve the defense. You know, I'm big on trading DJ Moore this offseason for Max Crosby.
Stop it. I think that needs to be done. Stop it.
I don't want it to happen, but I think it does need to be done.
Joey, let me get you off track, because I'm not here for the DJ Moore traded for Max Crosby conversation, but let me get you off track for a second and
sure.
really break your heart. 1st and 10, you told me at the beginning of this call, if you told me back in September the Bears would be 11-6 and, you know, make it to the divisional playoffs, I'd be happy. Let me do you one better. Let me take you somewhere.
Okay.
It's 17-17 in the divisional playoffs. The Bears have 1st and 10 from the 50-yard line.
Yep.
50-yard line, 1st and 10. And I tell you, they're overtime. All they got to do is get a field goal. 1st and 10 from the 50-yard line. Joey, you are telling me 10 out of 10 times that the Bears are winning that game. 10
100%.
Out of 10. And that's what I'm so frustrated. Like, when I'm not sad and hopeful, I am mad and hopeful, because I go back and think about that. 1st and 10 from the 50-yard line. Are you freaking kidding me?
And the reason why I'm sad and not mad is because I've been a Bears fan my whole life. I mean, I'm only 27, but you know, I've seen the bad Bears teams. I've seen the 2018 Bears. I've seen, you know, now the 2025 Bears, and it's like, I do get mad, because it's like we're greedy in some aspects, where it's like we should have won the game. We've played good football for majority of the year, and I am mad, but I'm also not super upset about it, because we weren't supposed to be here in the beginning.
I hear you.
And like you said earlier in the call, it's the last thing I'll say, because I'm sure you want to take more calls, but this is, I don't like comparing the sports, but this is reminding me of the 2015 Cubs.
I know a lot of people are saying, you know, it. A lot of people are saying,
like,
it.
We're right there, right? And it's like, you know, the Cubs that year were a great underdog story. They made it to the, you know, to the DS, and we don't get me wrong, we got our, you know, butts kicked by the Mets, but we were there. And, you know, a lot of people didn't think we would be there.
Yeah.
And
I hear
now
you.
Look at the Bears. And I really hope next year, you know, it's there. I do think the Bears win the Super Bowl with this regime here. And, you know, I just, you know, I'm excited.
I am very excited
for what's to come. And obviously, you know, this loss stings, and every loss, you know, in the playoffs sucks.
I hear you, Joey. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you chiming in as always, brother. And we'll look forward to a good offseason to hopefully get that Super Bowl sooner than later. Thanks for the call, man. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. When I said that out loud, it hurt. I hope it hurt you in your heart. I hope it got you right in the soul. When I told you that if Bears had the ball first and 10 from the 50-yard line and they already stopped the Rams and all they got to do is kick a field goal to win the game, everything you've seen from Caleb Williams this entire season, if I tell you that that's the scenario the Bears are in to win the game, you're telling me the Bears are going to go to the NFC Championship game. And instead, they run to the right, Kyle Manungai for 2 yards. Then Caleb Williams drops back in a shotgun on 2nd and 8 and throws the interception, which then leads to a 10-play, 54-yard drive to get the field goal. And eventually the Bears lose 20-17. Oh, damn. 312-644-6767. I need to go take a walk. And you need to call me up so we can talk about this one. I need to know your thoughts. Mad and hopeful. Sad and hopeful. Thoughts about Caleb Williams. Was the moment too big for him? 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Final throw.
Yep.
What did you see? What did you expect?
Yeah, I gotta go back and watch it. Obviously, don't haven't seen it and don't really know. But from in the moment, you know, saw the front side safety down, front side of the concept, you know, end up getting hemmed up a little bit. And so moved on and had DJ going over top over all of it. Just miscommunication between him and I. Tried to flatten him off under the safety, and he kept it vertical from, you know, what I saw on you know, obviously in the moment.
That was Caleb Williams talking about the interception of Rome Odunze on the Bears' final drive of the game. Of course, the interception led to a field goal, which ultimately ended the Bears' season. Bears lose to the Rams 20-17. The Rams will go on to face the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. And the Bears will look to build off of an incredible season where they ultimately, you know, surprised a lot of people, went further than most thought, and found themselves in a position to win the game right there. And as I mentioned, first and 10 from the 50-yard line. First and 10 from the 50-yard line, only needing a field goal to win the game. And unfortunately, the Bears, after 7 miraculous comebacks on the season, after multiple game-tying touchdowns this season, they unfortunately could not come up with the field goal to get them to the NFC Championship game. Caleb Williams, 23 for 42 on the day, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, and ultimately 3 costly interceptions on the day. Bears, 23 first downs, 11 both via the pass and the rush. They were 9 for 19 on third downs. 3 for 6 on fourth downs, 417 total yards. Tough. Caleb not sacked at all. Bears had 160 rushing yards on 39 attempts. And then, you know, it was just a clean game for the Rams. 1 penalty for 5 yards, no turnovers. Bears even won the time of possession battle. Just, again, when you look at the box score alone, the assumption would be that the Bears won this game. And it's unfortunate that they didn't. And so the emotions that we're exploring today is most are feeling mad and hopeful. Some are sad and hopeful from the result. But nonetheless, we get to hear your thoughts because that's what we're here for on The Score, man. We are live and local, taking your calls. I'm hanging out with you till 5 o'clock here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And We are also excited about our FM debut, 104.3 The Score, coming February 2nd during the Mully and Hall Show. That's right, all score crews, Cubs, Bulls, everyone on FM, high fidelity all the time, including in downtown Chicago. The Score can still be heard on 670, of course. That's not going anywhere. But Monday, February 2nd is the debut of the 104.3 on FM. Simulcast is presented by the official sports book of The Score, Circus Sports, sports betting the way it should be. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, after a season like this, what do you think it does for the Chicago Bears?
Well, man, forget anything about hopeful. I'm mad and expecting. I mean, I'm not pregnant, but, you know.
Like, I like that.
Well, first, in the game, isn't it funny how inevitable it seemed that we would put ourselves in that position to win in overtime? And while a lot of us, including me, were saying that we already won the Super Bowl last week and this was merely an encore, I got to say that the standard has been raised tenfold, and we just have to toss the history book away. I'm not with the chicken noodle soup takes of, it doesn't matter if he won because nobody thought we'd be here. It's no longer a team that overachieved. I expected them to win today. We have no real weaknesses, at least on paper. Like, all I can tell you for the offseason going forward is we need a better pass rush and probably some better coaching as far as defensive technique goes. You wonder how the Bears' offense would do against the Bears' defense and how Caleb and our backs could run circles around our very loose defense. I mean, my goal for the team this year was to make it past the second round. I made that lofty benchmark after the second game against the Vikings. I have that same expectation for next year. I mean, let's go.
Yeah, I feel the same way. My thoughts, I remember earlier in the season, I said, I think the ceiling for the Bears is NFC Championship. I didn't think they were going to be able to compete with the elites of the NFL. I thought they could get there and surprise some people with a couple victories, which they were just short of doing. But I think when we get to this point, you realize that, no, they could have competed with the elites this season specifically. Who knows what will happen next. You talk about the defense. I think the defense did a great job. I think they rose to the occasion. I think that obviously everyone understood their glaring weaknesses. However, you know, sometimes when you realize that you're playing for something, there's something on the line. And I think the Bears definitely kind of felt that. Ryan, thanks for the call. I appreciate your thoughts as always. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 670 The Score. All the way till 5 o'clock. Is Dustin doing the 5 o'clock? Because I know it's Martin Luther King Day.
No, I could double check. I don't think he is, though.
Right. So who's going to take over at 5? I'm not going to 5:30. Somebody got. I can't imagine. I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm just saying I can't imagine.
Still Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, still Dustin Rhodes coming in to do the Martin Luther King Day special?
That's what the schedule says.
I guess you have to after the Bears game.
After the Bears game, yeah.
Makes sense. All right, let's go back out to the lines, though. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom out in Rockford. Tom, talk to me a little bit about this game and how you felt with this one compared to the Packers.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to like between that game. The one thing I wanted to say about Caleb, I saw him on TV 3 years ago when he played for SC, and he had that same pass that he threw last week, rolling to his left, throwing it off of his left foot. That's what you do when you go to your left, you throw off your left foot, and he was actually off the ground completely. So same thing. The guy was diving for it on the sideline, and that of course shouldn't have happened. The Packers they didn't do anything right in the second half. Didn't even throw a pass to the sides to get offset the 6 or 7 guys rushing. What's the matter with them? And then they rehire this LaFleur. I don't know why they did that. That's coaching. Anyhow, on your part for Caleb, he's got to work on his accuracy. That's the main thing with him, his accuracy. He had 2 passes to the left that he overthrew them, all wide open. And then the first touchdown pass, he should have had, and he didn't lead him enough. He didn't lead him. The guy had to go back for it. That wasn't the one that was intercepted. That was the one before that. He didn't lead him. They right. would have had a touchdown right there. So there's accuracy again. Now, why does he throw that pass way down, that what last one intercepted way down there, trying to throw it in with three guys there? The coach has got to get on him. You can't even throw a pass like that. You got a nickel and dime it down there with on the 50-yard line, and nickel and dime and get what you can get and run when you have to. He's got the athleticism. He can outrun anybody. Here's a play I never see him have. The running back is on his left. Fake it. The running back's going around him. And then he fakes him behind it and runs back to the right. Everybody's leading left, and he'd run a long ways to the left.
Yeah,
that's another play.
You're right. I used to run that play on Madden all the time. I worked all the time. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 score. Tom, I love the passion. I love the fire. I love the but I hate listening to, you know, I don't know. I got to be honest, guys. I'm frustrated right now. I'm 2 hours deep into the show, and I think where the initial loss had me hopeful, now I'm pissed, man. I'm really angry at this whole thing. I'm angry. I'm angry thinking about, I don't know why I'm thinking about this one play in particular, but it's second and four, and Caleb Williams has a nice little out route. I believe it was either Burden or Olamide Zaccheaus, and he like overthrew him, and it would have gotten the Bears a nice little easy first down. And I think that might have been in maybe like right before, I think it was the fourth quarter. I'm looking it up right now. Fourth quarter. Oh my God. Third and goal, fourth and goal. Oh, this is just like, this is the play where the Bears should have tied the game up. So that way the touchdown would have been giving them the lead to end the game. And that is that. Because then they would have tied the game up. Maybe they would have just needed a field goal, but they got them on a three and out. Oh, my God. It's so frustrating. You're so close. The Bears were so close to going to the NFC Championship game. First and 10 from the 50-yard line in overtime. And Tom's right. Why is Caleb Williams throwing that ball? I'm not, you know me, guys. I don't like to be down on people. I'm more of a positive person. But it's second and eight. It's not like it's fourth and 10 and you're making that throw to DJ Moore. And he even said it when we came out of break. There was a miscommunication between DJ and I. Why are we making the miscommunication pass on second and eight? And I'm going to say this multiple times. I am not yelling at Caleb Williams. I'm not doing that. But I am frustrated at the play in the moment. It's second and eight. Benny J, it's second and eight from the 48-yard line. I know Ben Johnson is predictable. Let's be very clear. First and 10 on the 50-yard line, you didn't know the Bears were going to run? Of course you did. Second and eight, you want to know why you knew the Bears were going to pass the ball? You want to know why you already knew that? On second and eight, because you knew they were going to run it on third and short and fourth and short, because that's what the Bears do. They're a little predictable in that sense. So on second and eight, throwing a 25-yard, and I know that's where you live, Caleb, but Tom's right. Second and eight from the Rams' 48-yard line, there is no need to put the ball in harm's way. There is no need to find yourself in a predicament where there needs to be miscommunication. There should be a dump off right in front of you, or a 6-yard curl route to the left of you. Those should be available so that way you can continue to move the ball down to the 40-yard line and let Cairo Santos do his thing. Let's go back out to the phones. Dave on the north side. Dave, I got to be honest, man. I'm getting a little bored. I might be frustrated and hopeful by the end of the hour.
No, listen, I'm pissed. And I'll tell you what, this is where it falls on. It falls on Ben Johnson. You left 6 points on the table. that gunslinger mentality to fortress, that's fine. You want to try plays? Do that crap in the preseason, right? This is the playoffs. Get the points and get out. Get the points. Now, people don't understand this. All these throws that Caleb Williams doing, fourth and eight, are doing, he's bailing Ben Johnson out of like the reporters. I was waiting for the press conference. I was waiting, me and my brother, and I'm like, are they going to ask him? Why did he keep going on fourth one instead of getting the points? No. That's the question I want to ask you. When are you going to give that up? You're not that good yet.
Yeah, that's been my biggest point. Thanks for the call, Dave. Is that the offense is not good enough to, and we've seen it, right? Like, granted, they put up points in the fourth quarter, but the Bears' offense, at least this in the first season, isn't good enough to assume that they'll be back in the red zone multiple times to justify a missed opportunity to put points on the board, right? Where, think about it, the Bears had 10 points all the way to the fourth quarter. 10. So it, even within the game itself, it's showing and highlighting that your offense is not good enough to try to put points on the board, and then when you fail, the assumption is that you'll just get the ball back and go do it again. Because that's not it, and it hasn't been the case all season long. So I think and again, this is Ben Johnson's first time making it this far into the playoffs, his first playoff run, and maybe he'll, you know, think about these things differently. Maybe he wasn't anticipating his defense would play as well as it did, only allowing 17 points in regulation. Let's take some more calls. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Of course, Bears lose to the Rams 20-17. Let's go out to George in Elgin. George, what are your thoughts on this one? Sad and hopeful, mad and hopeful, pissed off and hopeful?
Hey, what's up, Gabe? I'm kind of I'm a mirage of both. Like, I want to be mad, but I'm also not. Because, like, I think the biggest egregious thing we did today was drop so many passes.
Oh my God.
That were clear for first downs. And, like, our defense played their butts off today. And I think Allen called one of his best game plans.
Agreed.
Of the entire season. And, like, it's hard to fault them for that. And, like, you know, at the beginning of the season, we were all talking about what the Bears were going to do. If you would have told me we would lose to the Rams in the divisional round by 3 points, I would have told you that you were out of your mind. We're not getting there. So, like, I think it's great. And I think I want to be mad, but I think our future is so bright that it's absolutely fantastic. So, like, I want to be mad, and I'm sad in the moment, you know, hanging out with everybody watching the game. But I have a hard time being upset about it because they exceeded my expectations, and I think we actually might have a quarterback, and I think we actually have our best head coach in, I don't know, forever.
Yeah, you're right. Ah, man, thanks for
that's kind of where I lie, man. Like, you know, I want to be sad. I mean, I'm definitely mad because I think we gave that game away a lot more than we lost it. But the future's bright, and I got to hang my head on that. I'm also a Cubs fan, so, you know, decades of disappointment.
yeah, tell me about it. I think Chicago sports in general are kind of like that. Used to disappointment, but this one feels, it's like, you know, some would say, oh, their luck ran out. Bears had 7 come from behind victories, and Caleb Williams had a miraculous throw to Cole Kmet in the corner of the end zone to tie it up and send it into overtime. And that might have been the last bit of luck that they had left. But it doesn't feel like that. It feels, and I think that's where the frustration for me lies, is that it didn't feel like you got outplayed by a significantly better team. It almost feels like you lost this one yourself. I saw Josh Allen in tears following the Buffalo Bills game. Saw that? And it made you think, and he's like, I let my team down. I kind of wanted to hear that from Caleb Williams today. I kind of wanted to hear him say, this one was on me. We've heard Ben Johnson say that a lot this season. This one's on me. I got to be better. I got to make better play calls. And there's been a lot of accountability from the head coach. I would have loved, and we'll get an opportunity to hear from Caleb Williams. I would have loved to have heard from Caleb and have him say something along those lines. My three interceptions cost this team this game. I had the ball first and 10 from the 50-yard line in overtime, and I couldn't come through. I didn't come through. I threw an interception. And it's not because I want him to, it's just I want him to be a good leader, right? Eat it. So that, because I haven't heard this Ben Johnson speech in the locker room yet, but I would imagine that it was something along the lines of, men, look how far we've come this year in my first, like, believe in me. I will take us there. I will work tirelessly to make sure this is not how our season ends next year.
Do you think he was cussing in the locker room in that speech?
Nah, I would have been, though. Nah, it needed to be somber. It needed to be one where you talk to men.
You'd be powerful.
Powerful. You talk to men and you say, men, we are on this journey, and this is not the end of our journey. As long as I'm here in Chicago, if you trust me, stick with me, I will get us to the promised land. And I can't wait. I hope it did say something like that. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to take a break. We're going to take some more of your calls. We got everybody lined up. This is what we're here for, live and local. This is the last game of the season, guys. The last time we get to talk about a Bears football game that matters for probably about 8-9 months. So I want to hear from you. Are you mad? Are you sad? Are you pissed? Along with hopeful. After this Bears loss to the Rams. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.